follow us on Twitter at Channel Radio 2. Channel 2 Talk Radio. Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Hey, good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. On this Tuesday, the 22nd of January, you're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon, Paul.
How are you, mate?
Good afternoon, listener. I'm good, thanks. Yeah. Good. How are you?
I'm all right. All right.
We've just been reminiscing about Christmas, haven't we? We've got some...
Christmas?
A packed
that
studio
was years ago.
I know, it seems like it, doesn't it? There's all that build-up and all the events you go to and all that wine you drink. Mm. Well, not you, obviously, but the rest of us.
Obviously not me.
And then all of a sudden you're back in the studio, no Christmas jumpers, all the decorations have gone, and it's kind of we're into another year.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It goes quickly. Mm. It does go quickly. So what have you been up to?
The last time I saw you, I think, we were at the Kent Business Summit together, weren't we?
We were indeed, yeah.
Which I think was the second ever.
It was the second one, yep.
Kent Business Summit.
Interesting. I chaired a round table on diversity and disability and skills in the workplace, which was interesting. We had a really good discussion about that.
I went to a productivity seminar.
Were you late?
Yes, very good, very good. I tell you who was late, actually, on Friday, bless her, poor Linda. We were at an Oasis event at the London Club.
And the queen of productivity, Linda Garcia, was late.
And you'll never guess which golf club she went to.
London Beach?
Yeah, opposite you.
Oh, really?
So that was quite amusing. But no, that business summit I thought was quite interesting. Mm. One of the other things that was kind of covered was transport, wasn't it?
It was,
yeah. Because, frankly, transport is a mess. And
certainly is,
and it's only ever going to get worse,
and it's not going to get better anytime soon. No.
So I was lying in bed last night thinking about how we could solve this country's transport problem.
As you do, yeah,
because I had nothing better to do. And I was thinking, why don't we make more of the other ports that we've got in this country? Why does the vast majority of the cross channel traffic have to come into Dover?
Well, it all depends what traffic you mean, because it doesn't.
Well, I know containers don't necessarily.
Yeah, no, Dover only handles less than 6% of traffic between the continent for goods, yeah. But people, it's mostly via Dover because it's the quickest and shortest route.
But it's still 10,000 lorry movements a day, Paul.
Yeah, but that's nothing compared to what goes from the other 9 ports.
Yeah, okay. Well, my thinking was, why can't we take a third of those lorry movements and if you're going up north or to the Midlands, for example, ship them in up the East Coast.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, why? I mean, okay, it's a longer journey, but so what?
Yeah.
Because the problem is all of that traffic moving through Kent is a nightmare, isn't it?
Yeah. But a lot of people make this mistake, though, by looking at Dover and thinking that that's the traffic.
Yeah.
It isn't. Dover's not even one of the big ports. Hull and Southampton and Grimsby and Great Yarmouth and all that, and Liverpool are all much bigger ports than Dover, and they handle much more traffic.
Yeah.
It's just that Dover's busy from a people point of view,
right,
because lots of people cross there because it's the shortest route. Mm. And then you've got the train, and then you do obviously have roll-on, roll-off traffic of trucks. Mm. But I think the big infrastructure issues that they were talking about at the summit, though, were roads and railways. Mm. And I thought the most apposite point that anybody made was, why do you keep trying to fix the problems? Mm. You need to think strategically about this, yeah? What you should be doing is putting in place the transport infrastructure you're going to need in 20 years because it takes that long to put it in place. There's no point trying to fix what you got wrong last year. And I think that's a really good point. Oh,
yeah. Well, my point on all of that was going to be, why don't you get that freight traffic onto trains on a high-speed network and then link up regional kind of centres, if you like, distribution centres. I mean, put Amazon in charge of it, for heaven's sake. You know, all the lorries go into a distribution centre and then all those goods get shipped out locally from there.
Yeah.
But that commercial traffic is never on the roads in the first place. And the reason I'm harping on about this a little bit as well, everybody's looking.
It's because you're boring.
Slightly perplexed. Well, exactly. Apart from that, I'm a bit of an anorak.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe what I was reading in the press yesterday about workplace parking. So
£1,000 they want to charge.
A number of cities in the UK, so big cities, are going to start trialling a levy for people to actually use a workplace parking space.
And then they're going to grizzle their heads off that the high street's dying. You couldn't make it up. Our politicians are just not fit for purpose, are they?
They're going to penalise you and me for driving
for
to our place of work.
To have a job, yeah.
Now, hang on a minute. Isn't that all a little bit back to front? Surely, you know, you should be incentivising employers to help people work from home.
It is absolutely pointless talking about politicians. They are the most ignorant, stupid bunch of people on the planet. They just lost the plot completely. All they're doing is trying to find ways of taking more money off you. They don't think about what they're doing. They don't think about the effects of what they're doing. They don't think about unintended consequences. On the one hand, they're all screaming that the high street's dying. On the other hand, they're busy killing it, you know.
But imagine what that would do for a city like Canterbury.
Mm.
So Canterbury doesn't have huge offices, but what it does have is some very useful sort of medium-sized employers, firms of solicitors, accountants, etc. All of them have private parking. Are you really saying to them, we don't actually want your business in our city centre anymore?
Yeah, we don't want your people
driving to work.
That's exactly what they're saying.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Absolute nonsense.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Absolutely.
We've got some guests.
We have. Do you know who they are?
I do, luckily.
Why don't you tell us?
Well, why don't you introduce yourselves? Julie, let's start with you.
Good afternoon. I'm Julie Firth from the Diagrama Foundation.
Thank you, Julie. Thanks for coming.
I'm Jackie from J&J Systems.
J&J Systems.
And I'm Laura from Brookhouse with Solutions.
Brilliant. Okay, so we've got a room full of ladies today, Paul.
How did you manage that then?
Which means you need to be on your best behaviour.
Is that right?
Exactly.
And so how did you manage that then?
Just the way it worked out.
This how time. Was it?
Yeah, just the way it worked out.
It wasn't deliberate then.
But welcome, and do feel free to contribute, as we said earlier, as and when you feel the need to, particularly if he starts to go on rattling on about some ridiculous kind of abstract problem that he's having to struggle with at the moment.
Is that right?
Which is what he usually does.
Well, look, let me tell you, I'm fed up with Martin already, so I prefer to hear from you, the listeners out there, out in the southeast of England. You can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You could call me if you wanted on 01233 220035. That's Ashford. 01233 220035. You could email me at hello@bizradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on air is to tweet me at VanillaWeb and to use the hashtag BBunker. And we have had a few tweets already.
Good.
And we got some stuff to read.
Okay, go on then.
You want me to do some work?
You do it.
You're not going to do it then.
Right.
I've got a tweet from Simple Advertising, and all they've done is said, hi, we're listening. Can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? Yeah. So do give them a follow on the Twitter. It's Simple Advert UK is their Twitter handle.
Okay. Well, I'm going to focus on some of the brilliant things that are happening in and around our county and networking opportunities. So our hosts, Kent Space, actually have a networking evening next Wednesday.
They do.
So that's the lovely Vicky and Sue McGowan at Kent Space. So it's 5:30. It's an after-hours networking. They usually put on a nice spread, a nice buffet. And next week, the brilliant Josephine McCartney, who I'm sure you probably know, Julie, from the Kent Community Foundation, is actually going to be talking about all the brilliant work that they do as well. So, so get yourselves along to that next Wednesday, 5:30 p.m.
Cool.
Oh.
Are you going?
You want me to go again?
No.
I will.
I'll just ask you a question.
Oh, am I going to that? You mean next Wednesday? I'm hoping to. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah, it's only once a month. They do it regularly, so it's always
They're normally quite good fun, aren't they?
Yeah, they are very good.
Well, I've got something, and then you can have another go.
All right.
International Women's Day event is taking place on Friday the 8th of March, 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Port Lim Hotel and Reserve, down at Hythe. Butterflies Events and the Aspinall Foundation invites you to join us at the stunning Port Lim Hotel and Reserve in Hythe for an International Women's Day event with a difference. The day will begin with some networking with a difference. We will be networking with the animals. Ooh. As we take a safari through the African and Asian experiences.
I bet Amanda's used to that, isn't she?
Absolutely. She's probably doing the tour. Yeah.
The gorillas in particular.
Yeah. After the excitement of the safari, we will be having a lovely light lunch and then hear from our inspirational speakers. The day is about celebrating women in business, about being inspired and about networking with other fabulous women in business, as well as supporting the Aspinall Foundation and learning more about the amazing work that they do to help prevent the extinction of many wild animals. The tickets are a measly £45 each for the full day. That includes all the activities and lunch, and every single penny will be donated to the Aspinall Foundation. If you want to get in quickly, which is why she's telling us about it now, there's an early bird ticket, which is £39. And if you want to find out about it, book your early bird ticket if you go to butterfliesevents.co.uk/IWD event. That's butterfliesevents.co.uk/IWD event.
Great venue. Super day out. Even if you're not going there on business, always fun to visit, isn't it? While we're talking about networking, I wonder, Jackie, if we should bring you in, because you're one of the leaders of a very successful network business networking group as well, aren't you? Is it Active Business Group?
Yes, Martin, you're absolutely right. Active Business Group.
Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a small privately run group, and it's based in Boughton Golf Club.
Right. When you say privately run, you mean sort of independent.
No, it's just Jackie. She's the owner.
It's just me. Well, lots of the other networking groups are franchises, yes, or they're groups that have a profit-driven motive, whereas Active Business Group doesn't.
That's interesting. So you plough all of your kind of membership fees back into the group to help market the group?
Yeah, absolutely. And we do all sorts of little projects. We've done videography with them so that they have marketing videos on their websites. We've done marketing plans. We've done some social media planning with them. And that means that the group helps to fund it, and as well as all the funds going back in to advertise the group and keep the group funded as well.
Well, I've been a couple of times. I have to say I've always enjoyed going. You always have some good speakers on as well.
Yeah, we have a process where we try and mentor businesses if they're not quite, if they're new perhaps.
Were you meeting this morning? Because I know it's on a Tuesday.
It is, yeah.
Yes, they had an early start today.
Okay.
Did you have breakfast?
A small breakfast.
Did you? Okay.
So let's check in. We'll go easy on Jackie today. She had a very early start this morning.
Absolutely.
Is it 7 o'clock you meet? Something like that?
It's a 7 o'clock start there. Mm. Yeah, got an early start tomorrow for business over breakfast. So
okay, do that as well. Right. Yeah. So tell us, when's your next visitor day coming up?
We're going to have one in May, and it's going to be centred around marketing.
Good.
And it's going to encourage people, give them help them plan marketing for their small businesses.
Okay. And if people want to come along as a visitor, not just necessarily to a visitor day, but as your guest, how can people get in touch with Active Business Group, ABG?
www.activebusinessgroup.co.uk.
Good. All right.
And there's a visitor's registration page, and very happy to have anyone come along and visit. We do like local charities as well to come along.
There you go, Julie.
I might have to turn up there one day.
Fantastic. Yeah. And what is it, £15 for the breakfast or something?
For two visits, you can come free of charge.
Free of charge for two visits. Brilliant. Mm-hmm. So get yourselves along, people. Another very excellent local networking group in and around the Faversham Strict.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. Good. Thank you.
I've had an email for you.
Oh, gosh.
I think, really.
Right.
It's. I think, anyway, you'll probably tell me off now. Mm. A new year, a new you. It's from Benenden Hospital.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's a free weight loss surgery.
That's a bit mean.
Oh, that's. Isn't that the pot calling the kettle black?
I've lost the stone, mate.
Oh, have you?
I've lost the stone.
A you
free,
need to.
Yeah. A free weight loss surgery, open mornings, to be held at Benenden Hospital next week on January the 26th from 10:30 a.m. till 12:30. The event is aimed at potential patients who will have the chance to book a free consultation with our consultant bariatric surgeon, Mr. Ahmed Hamouda, and his team. The special offer comes amid a growing obesity trend throughout the UK, with associated health-related conditions such as type 2 diabetes, hypertension, and obstructive sleep apnea. Visitors will hear from former patients Philip Seymour and Emma Hartnett, who successfully underwent gastric sleeve operations at the Benenden Hospital. Philip lost 12 stone. It's one of your legs. And he's planning to run the London Marathon. And Emma has now taken up running also. She said, how I feel now makes me quite emotional because it's been a life-changing experience. It's been fantastic. I'm slim, fit and healthy. There will also be a short video presentation about weight loss surgery and the open event, a Q&A with the hospital's bariatric team, a tour of the newly developed hospital rated outstanding by the Care Quality Commission, and a free lunch.
Oh, hang on a minute.
I don't think it will consist of very much, mind. Yeah, like a Rivita or something.
Apple slices.
Yeah. Benenden Hospital's weight loss options are laparoscopic gastric bands, sleeve gastrectomy and gastric balloons, including the ellipse, which can be swallowed. The hospital offers a wide range of healthcare consultants, treatments and diagnostic services to Benenden members and self-pay patients and those with private medical insurance. Some services may also be available to NHS patients through an e-referral system. Mm-hmm. If you want to find out more about it, benendenhospital.org.uk/weightloss, or you can call them on 01580-230-420. That's 01580-230-420. Benendenhospital.org.uk.
Brilliant.
Cool.
Great.
Nice. What you got?
I've got Marsh Networking Over Breakfast. So our good mate, Terry Botfield, runs a brilliant networking group that he started a couple of years ago down on the Marsh. So if you're down in the sort of Romney Marsh area, let's face it, sort of a little bit out of the way down there, probably why they want to stick a new airport in at Lydd, you know, because it's so convenient for people to get to.
Yep.
And also maybe East Sussex. A lot of people that kind of live in rural communities around the Marsh and East Sussex.
Yeah.
Or on the Weald, perhaps.
Mm.
It's a great networking group. And this Thursday, 24th, they've got a networking breakfast at the Ship Inn, which is a lovely pub in Dimchurch.
It is. It's in Dimchurch High Street. Yeah.
Very nice. Mm. At 7:45 for 9:15 finish. You do have to book. There is an Eventbrite booking link. I'm sure it's on the Business Bunker website.
If you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/marsh, there's a page there with all the booking links on.
Right. So get yourselves along to that. And again, join the buzz. We are creating on the Marsh.
Absolutely. I've had a tweet from Hive Co-working. And they say, a vanilla web, it would be great if you could let your listeners know about our next event. It's eventbrite.co.uk/hive-session-story. It's all about brand content and marketing. It's a brilliant, it's an event they're running at the Hive, which is at the Umbrella Centre in Whitstable. And they have a small co-working space there and they've got a storytelling event. It's a brilliant lineup of guests. It's great value with 25% of the ticket price going to the panelist's choice of charity. And the ticket price includes a drink and it's only 10 quid.
Mm.
Yeah. So get along for that. Follow them on the Twitter at Hive Working is their Twitter handle, or go to eventbrite.co.uk/hive-session.
Calling all stressed out accountants.
Blimey.
And let's face it, they must be incredibly stressed at the moment because I believe the end of this month is the deadline for self-assessment, isn't it?
Yeah, but have you seen what HMRC have just done?
They've published all the reasons for inexcusable excuses or something.
No, they fined everybody.
In advance.
They fined everybody that had paid early by accident.
Oh, really? Oh, excellent. I've got that little thrill to look forward to.
What a bunch of Muppets.
Okay, yeah, good. Yeah. All right, well, I'll let my accountant deal with that.
Mm.
But the point about calling all stressed out accountants is, I would imagine that in most firms, and we had Joe from Bells on, didn't we, just before Christmas, in most firms of accountants, everybody's got their head down. Everybody's kind of cracking through their workload. I can't imagine there's an awful lot of interaction and kind of team building and fresh thinking and kind of creative thinking going along in firms of accountants at the moment. So the lovely Debs from Carp Acacio, who is one half of Slope Off Friday, she works very closely with Jules to organise all the FSB Slope Off Friday networking events. She is offering you, as a firm of accountants, a workshop, a creative arts workshop.
Okay.
And the whole point of the workshop that's conducted, it's run in your business with your team, is to help take you out of your kind of day-to-day comfort zone and actually get you engaging and interacting with your other team members and, crucially, generating some fresh thinking. So, you know, rather than going into next year's tax return nightmare, thinking, crikey, it's going to be a nightmare again because it was a nightmare this year and it was a nightmare last year, you know, why not generate some fresh thinking and some brainstorming and some new ideas for how you can make that whole process less onerous, either within the business or perhaps in terms of how you work with your clients. And what Debs actually delivers at the end of the day, hopefully, is a tangible piece of artwork as well that you guys have all created that kind of puts that into a kind of a visual context.
Sounds good.
Yeah, which is great because you can hang it on the wall and people can look at it kind of every day and think, yeah, you know, we did that together. So, you know, when was the last time we banged our heads together and came up with something creative?
Yeah.
So if you'd like to get in touch with Debs, it's Deborah Smith at Carp Acacio Creative Arts. I think the easiest thing is you'll find all of her contact details in the community section of Supply My Business. But get in touch and book yourselves a workshop.
Fantastic. Good stuff. Do you know what?
Tunage.
I'm going to play some tunage. I couldn't find anything cheesy enough because we have an eclectic mix of guests today, so I just went with something nice. Brown eyed girl, eh?
Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came. Playing a new game, laughing and a running, hey, hey, skipping and a jumping in the misty morning fog with all our hearts that thumping, and you, my brown eyed girl, and you. And whatever happened to Tuesday, I'm so slow. Gone down the old man with a transistor radio. Standing in the sunlight laughing, hiding behind a rainbow's wall. Slipping and sliding all along the waterfall with you, my brown-eyed girl. We used to sing sha la 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 la, just like that. Sha la 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 la. You have grown. Cast my memory back there, Lord. Sometimes I'm overcome thinking about making love in the green grass behind the stadium with you, my brown eyed girl. Are you my brown eyed girl? Do you remember when we used to sing?
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Phoenix Analysts Limited. Business consultants commissioning, procurement and quality assurance services. Helping you to get the most out of your business. Check our website for more details. phoenixanalystslimited.com.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Want more business in Kent? Get 12 months membership for the price of 10 when you join our supplymybusiness.co.uk Kent business community today.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 and bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, the 22nd of January, with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous, Martin White.
Hi, Paul.
All right, mate.
Yeah.
Good. Bit of Van Morrison there, Brown Eyed Girl.
We've got a listener.
Good grief.
Yes.
That's a first.
I think actually,
ten years this year, and we've finally got a listener.
I think it's Simon Webster.
Ah.
Yeah.
All right.
And Simon's very interested in your animal networking that you were reading out at Port Lim.
It's a women's day, Simon.
Yeah, well, I think he wants to go and talk to the animals. So, yeah. Do you think they'll let him in?
No, I'm sure they will. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, yeah, get yourself along to that, Simon.
Yeah.
Talk
absolutely.
To the chimps.
Absolutely. So, what you got apart from that?
Well, we've got a great event also, again, next Wednesday. And as you know, this often happens in the world of networking. There's loads of stuff on the same day.
Yep.
And even at the same time sometimes. Mm-hmm. But what you could do is pop along to the FSB's Connect networking at Metro Bank in Maidstone next Wednesday. It starts at 6 p.m. And the brilliant Tracy Westall from Pecunia, who was on the show in November, I believe, one of our guests, is going to be talking all about credit management and, you know, why it's important to kind of to take that subject seriously.
It is massively important. It's just one of my big things about especially small businesses, but it affects quite a few businesses. But small businesses especially are really poor at managing their finances and getting the money in. And a lot of that is fear, obviously. They don't want to upset their customers. But, hey, if they're not paying you, they're not customers. So you need to have a much better approach to collecting your money in.
Right. So some very simple tips and process that Tracy's going to be sharing with you. It's free of charge. It's 6 till 7.30. But what you could do is what one of our serial networking friends, Roger Keach, does. I'm sure you all know Roger. Mm-hmm. Is he will pop along there for half an hour and then he'll come along to Kent Space just to make sure that it covers off both bases. So pop along there for 45 minutes and then pop along here to Kent Space for their networking as well.
Oh, I see where you're going with that. Okay. Yeah.
So it's next Wednesday.
You're doubling up.
Double up.
Yeah.
Because it's not far.
Double-decker networking.
That's it.
Yeah,
double bubble.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Well, what a good idea. Thank you for that, Martin. I've had a tweet from the lovely Tracy Ferguson, and she says, "Have a fantastic show, Paul and Martin and your guests. I'm meeting Sue Plumtree in London today to make the final preparations for our workshop at the St. George Hotel on February the 9th. And Tracy is running a workshop called Learn to Love Yourself and Others. Tracy does fantastic work in helping people come to terms with their own talents, abilities, self-esteem and self-worth. And I've seen Tracy work with young people on this and make a fantastic difference. So this workshop's going to be really cool. There's an early bird price of £20 for the tickets if you buy them before the 31st of January. The easiest way to find out all about it and to get yourself booked on this is to follow Tracy on the Twitter. And Tracy's Twitter handle is Tazzy64. That's T-A-Z-I-6-4, the number 6-4. Tazzy64. Give Tracy a follow. Find out about Learn to Love Yourself and Others, a workshop taking place at the fantastic St. George Hotel in Chatham on February the 9th.
Keep up the good work, Tracy.
Yeah.
And thanks for listening.
Yeah.
I want to give a shout out for one of your guests from last week, actually.
Oh, go for it.
The Milky Tea Company.
All right, yeah.
Yeah, so Milky Tea Company, they actually produce breastfeeding T-shirts. So quite a niche, quite a novel business.
Yeah.
They came on the show last week. Didn't
When you say that, it sounds really odd. You know, a breastfeeding T-shirt. Well, you do preload it or something.
Yeah, there's a film, isn't there?
What I mean by that is it's not your everyday item of clothing.
No.
That's what I meant.
It's an item of clothing to assist in breastfeeding.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the reason I mentioned them, and they're a great example of a kind of a new successful startup business, is because they were the recipients of a business funding grant in November, funnily enough, from SEB, which is the Southeast Business Boost Grant Funding Programme, that's administered and run through Kent County Council. And they actually got a successful grant funding application of £2,000 to help them develop a new website to help them sell their product, through e-commerce online. So congratulations to you guys on that level. If there are other businesses out there that are thinking about investing in their business this year, and it might be marketing, it might be you need a new vehicle, it might be you're expanding your business premises, whatever it is, the chances are that there probably is some Southeast Business Boost grant funding available to you. And it's done on a 30% contribution basis from a minimum of £1,000. So you need to be spending £3,333 to qualify for that, up to a maximum of £10,000, obviously, which would be available on a spend of £33,000.
Right.
So, again, if you'd like to find out more information on Southeast Business Boost and tap into some of that free money, it's European money, which is the one caveat. So it won't be around forever, obviously. It may be, it may not be, but it's going to run out at some point. Have a look on the Supply My Business community page and you'll find out all the information on that.
Fantastic. Thank you. I need to tell you it's back again.
What, your microphone?
No,
you know?
Slope Off Friday.
Oh, yes, it's back.
Yeah. Apparently, there's a deadline. You need to book quickly for Slope Off Friday, hosted by Jules Serkin, Ian McCormack of the FSB and lovely Dev
Smith.
Of Ocasio Carpe.
Ocasio.
Yeah. And the next one is taking place on Friday, February the 1st. It's 2 p.m. and it's at Alimo's restaurant, which I happen to know is in Whitstable.
It is. It's Moroccan.
It is Moroccan. It's under the viaduct there, isn't it?
Spicy.
Yeah, lovely. So
the jeans.
Thank
the jeans.
I don't care what you're wearing. See what I did there.
Are you a lamb or a chicken tijine kind of person? What do you prefer?
I'm more of a Margay sausage.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure that's... Is that Moroccan?
Yeah.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Merguez, you mean?
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Very spicy.
But I will wear my jeans.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Very red, those sausages, aren't they?
They are very red. Yes, yeah. Yeah. Are you going?
No, I'm undecided.
Right. Okay. Anyway, Slope Off Friday, February the 1st. Do get in touch with Slope Off Friday on the Twitter to book your place. It's a networking lunch that's completely degenerate.
Yeah. There's usually a good sort of 30 businesses in the room, and you'd be surprised at just how much business gets done. So
I'd be stunned, to be quite frank. unless you're heavily into wine sales, I'd be stunned about how much business does it gets done there.
Anyway, it's good fun, and I think it's £20 for for a fabulous sit down buffet. So 2 p.m. for 2:30 sit down, and basically leave when you feel like it or don't.
About 2 a.m. normally, isn't it?
Hey, listen, a cab.
Exactly. That actually, I must tell a funny story. Last Christmas, we had one of our relationship managers from NatWest down, Simon Goldsmith. And bless him, he got a bit carried away. They don't get out much, banking people, I don't think. He's stuck in Canterbury most of the time. And he kept looking at his watch saying, I'll get the next train. I'll get the next train. And then he forgot to look at his watch for an hour. And then he realised he'd missed the last train. And we ended up putting him in a cab from the Wetherspoons in Ramsgate, the pavilion, all the way back up to Gillingham. So you missed the last train.
That was an expensive night.
So it can drag on a little bit, yeah. Anyway, Paul.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Right, thank you for that. But do you know what I want to do now?
Bring on a guest.
I want to bring on a guest. It's about time we talk to somebody very sensible and down-to-earth and realistic and professional. But we got Jackie. No, sorry about that.
Don't look in my direction.
Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back onto the Business Bunker Show after far too long away.
Sorry.
It was a long time ago that you were last on, isn't it, Jackie? Yeah, it was. The lovely Jackie Offen of J&J Systems. Welcome back, Jackie.
Thank you. Lovely to be here.
I've had a few requests on Twitter before we get started for you to mention the work you've been doing on dementia and stuff like that, and the huge amounts of money you raised.
That's Denise.
It will be Denise, it will, yeah. Yes. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
She's twittering on about a ball, which I arranged last year, which Martin came along with his good lady, and yeah, so did Laura.
Yeah, yep. Sometimes you just can't stop them, can you?
I know. Well, I was prepared to pay the money. The ball was at the Cathedral Lodge. It was fabulous. It was in aid of the Alzheimer's Society, so very big fan of doing a bit of work with charities and all of the benefits that come with that. But the Alzheimer's Society, particularly because my dad's got Alzheimer's, so it's about all I can do to try and help a little bit. Last year it raised £7,500, and 2 years before that I did one which was £7,333. So that's a little bit more.
No, that's brilliant. It's an absolutely brilliant effort. And the stuff you do and the encouraging people to go on workshops and things like that to find out more about it is incredibly important.
You've been on a dementia friend session.
I have indeed. Yeah.
Denise has run one for me, and I encourage everybody to go on it. I've done it myself.
It's interesting. It's really interesting stuff.
And, it's very interesting.
And it's one of those things about helping identify and deal with people at work that may have dementia. But, of course, most of us come across it in different fields anyway.
Do you know, it's an ageing population, and I look at my peers now, and I think, well, you know, all of us in business, we're all getting a bit older. A lot of my clients are getting older.
She's looking at me.
I'm hoping none of my clients are listening, but, I mean, they're all getting older. So we have to recognise these things in our friends and business colleagues.
And just while we're talking about it, it was Denise Wilton that asked me on Twitter, and for those of you that may have noticed, Denise is the star with her lovely dad. Of the dementia adverts on TV at the moment.
The Alzheimer's Society encouraging everybody to get a will. And it's everything she does is amazing.
Yeah, it's great. And there's a lot of activity here in Kent around dementia in terms of raising the profile and raising awareness of it. And you're a leading figure in that, and all power to you.
But you don't do it every year, do you, that event? It's every other year because it's such a time-consuming thing.
Yeah, it's time-consuming. It takes me a lot of effort, and I rely on a lot of support from people to help me get raffle prizes together. So it's every other year, and there is one in 2020 at the Cathedral Lodge again. Who they are amazing people, really supportive.
It's a lovely venue too. Yeah.
It's fabulous. Yeah, they've been brilliant.
Sandra and her team.
But next year we're going to do an event in the summer on 30th of June at Mount Ephraim Gardens.
Beautiful.
J&J Systems is sponsoring that. And that's all the ticket proceeds are going to go to the Alzheimer's Society again. So there's a couple of bands on the lawn on a Sunday afternoon, a bit of Hushheath sparkling fizz, Solly's ice cream with local strawberries. Ooh. So it's all Kentish fare.
Hymns?
No, bands.
Hymns.
Oh, Pims. No, just Hushheath. Hymns. You know me better.
Isn't that so typical of him? Isn't it? All he cares about is the booze food. Yeah.
There is an events page on our website for that. But we're sponsoring it, but all of the ticket proceeds are going to the Alzheimer's Society.
In June?
30th of June. It's a Sunday afternoon.
Great.
If you go to that, Martin, I'll get Benenden Hospital to sponsor you.
Now, what we really ought to do is also talk about J&J Systems, because you're a very successful business that's actually quite sort of under the radar in many ways, I think. So tell us, how long have you actually been going, and what is it that you actually do?
Good question. So it's 20 years. We've had a 20th birthday. James and I set the business up to work together, have fun. And
how long ago?
20 years.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
Well, that's 20th anniversary.
That's what you do when you're 15. You know, you have fun. So.
Thank you. If only I was 15 again. We're an IT service provider. We started off as just a standard IT dealership, as you would have been 20 years ago.
Yeah, sure.
And we've evolved and grown.
What would that have been? You mean a reseller for other people's
equipment? Yeah, reselling. I used to be a Pegasus software reseller. That was my bag back then. Now we partner with our friends over at Oasis.
Yeah, Bruce.
Who've got a gig coming up soon, you've got to mention.
He's just tweeting me about it, actually, so I'll read that in a minute.
Oasis look after all of our clients for their software, but that's what I used to do. And that took up 80% of the business. Now they deal with it, and we only deal with IT service provision, anything from looking after a laptop up to managing a network.
So what's hot at the moment in the world of IT? What's going on? What's not going on?
What's happening?
Yeah, what's happening?
The big news at the minute, it's not big to us, but to other people, is that Windows 7's end of life in January 2020. So yeah. Anybody using Windows 7 operating systems that hasn't upgraded yet to Windows 10 needs to consider it carefully.
That'll be the NHS that are still using Windows Vista or whatever.
There's a few smug businesses going, well, I've done mine already and I took the free upgrade. But there's thousands of businesses out there that didn't, that are running legacy software on computers which, quite frankly, couldn't possibly support Windows 10. And then with server operating systems end of life in January 2020 as well, like Server 2008, it's going to cause a large problem. And what is that problem? Why should I bother upgrading? It's the vulnerabilities on the network, the security issues. And security, along with our friend GDPR, has become a massive issue. Data protection is huge.
Cyber security. Yeah, absolutely.
It's every single, probably our support desk, which is manned constantly by very professional engineers, are troubled constantly with questions about cybersecurity and email.
Apart from anything else, Windows 10 to me, and I mean, I'm a Windows 7 user.
Here we go.
Windows 10 to me looks fundamentally different on the front end to Windows 7.
When we install it for our clients, Martin, we make it look far more like Windows 7.
Right.
In a very efficient way, and we take out all of the, think carefully what you say, take out all of the...
fluff.
Yes.
So you create a dashboard for your clients that actually mirrors kind of what their current system looks like.
If that's how you'd like to describe it, yeah, maybe not quite so, but yes.
Right.
Okay. We make it far more efficient than its native format.
For me personally, that's another thing I've got to kind of get myself trained up
on. Martin, you get used to it, don't you?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, on my office at home, I have three Macs and a PC, and a PC is running Windows 7. And I had to be dragged kicking and screaming into Windows 7, if I'm really honest. And the minute I go to Windows 10, I'm just going to turn the PC off and forget it, because I can't be bothered. I just don't like Windows 10 at all.
We've got no choice. In our world, we've got no choice. It's industry standard.
So you help your clients make that transition as smoothly and as painlessly as possible.
We're helping them budget for it, plan for it, renew their equipment for it. We're looking at the legacy applications they're using and planning the upgrades for it. It's a careful consideration, because most businesses can't go out and just simply renew all their capital, their equipment with that capital expenditure. So it's considered careful upgrade planning.
I think it's really interesting that you can adapt it to look like the old one, because I think that's one of the biggest things. It kind of takes the fear out of it.
It doesn't look exactly the same, but you can make it
usable.
You can make it more usable and trim it down. It does have a tendency to have its own little world after a big upgrade. It will put itself back to almost where it was. But we try to make it really simple. If you roll it out to, say, a business with 30 users, the productivity time goes down with their learning. So we make it as close as we can to Windows 7.
Sorry,
I was just going to ask, can you work with small businesses as well, like one-man bands?
We work with solopreneurs, actually. No, anybody with a single laptop. We've got lots of small businesses that we deal with, from that up to larger sites with multi-sites, multi-servers.
I want to ask about something else in a minute, but he interrupted me when I was about to say something, and I want to come back to it because I thought it was funny. we were talking about cyber security, and the latest one that's going around, and I got it the other day, I got an email from someone, and it said, I've broken into your account, and I've managed to access your camera.
Your webcam. Yeah. I've seen what you've been doing.
I've seen what you've been doing, looking at those porn sites. If you'd like the photos, you have to send me £1,000. So I just replied, oh, yeah, please, I'd lost my collection. Thank you.
we see so many different types of that sexploit. Email, that is. Yeah. So many of them. Clients send them to them. Or after there's been some sort of breach, we've had, when people's usernames and passwords have been on a list, there's another one that goes around and says, I know your username and password. So everybody who then duplicates the same password on multiple sites should be changing those passwords, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But they're out there. It's just blackmail.
So security is going to be a big concern with 7 moving to 10.
If you stay on Windows 7, if you stay on the old systems, then you're far more vulnerable to issues.
The one benefit you will get, of course, by staying on 7 is you won't get those annoying patches at Microsoft Sentry all the time
that's
anymore, will you?
Yeah, that. What, those annoying patches that bring you up to date that stop you getting viruses and help you keep your business secure?
The last one I had actually corrupted my machine and I had to roll it back to my previously saved edition.
Well, that's because you don't use Jackie to do the work for you, isn't it?
I will monitor future. Systems, Martin, 24/7.
Well, that's an interesting point because I have been to Jackie's offices.
Mm.
And what amazed me is she's got a wall, a video wall. And I love it because, you know, for me, it's just amazing. You just sit there and you watch all the lights going on and off.
You only tell me I got access to her camera and I've been watching.
but it's incredible because what she's got is she's got all her customers mapped on a video wall.
Mm.
And then what she's got is all the kind of the downtime on the network, for example.
Mm.
You know,
there is no downtime.
Exactly, because you can switch to other networks and backup systems and everything else. But the point is, the whole thing is traffic light, isn't it? So you know before they know that there's going to be a problem.
Mm.
And so you can actually solve the problem before it even becomes a problem.
Proactive maintenance, Martin, that's what it's all about.
It's quite impressive.
It is,
it's all done in real time. You know, it's just, it's live.
And do you handle networking issues?
I was about to say, what do you mean, like... And then I had to stop myself because that wouldn't be funny. a networking group. No, you mean PC networking? Yes, what we do. Yeah, we do everything from cabling to
servers. Right, okay, that's all good.
Don't get me wrong, I don't want to do structured cabling. We have people that do that for us.
Yeah, for sure. Funny enough, it's just that I've got so fed up with my Wi-Fi at home that I've just started laying Ethernet cables all over the house.
Yeah, we do that. So we do all the cabling for small stuff like that and Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Pretty much anything you can think of from
or Wi-Fi. You do Wi-Fi.
Yes.
I have massive problems with Wi-Fi in my house because it's an Edwardian house. It's got thick walls.
Walls.
Yeah. So
security as well on Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Because Wi-Fi isn't secure, so anybody who's interested could get.
Yeah.
On your system.
I'm all right because my password's on there. It's password. No. Damn.
Well, it's better than mine, which is password one.
Not 123.
Yeah.
Now, can we move on?
Yeah.
Can we talk about GDPR?
What do you want to know?
Before we came live on air, I was just kind of remarking about the fact that I'm kind of back to pre-GDPR levels of spam emails coming into my system.
It's because people have worked out that if they have legitimate interest to contact you, they can do so, and they're not so scared anymore.
Yeah. But these are businesses I've ever had anything to do.
It doesn't matter. It's not covered by GDPR. This was the big myth when everybody got wrong when GDPR came out.
It's covered by GDPR.
No, it's not.
Martin, where is your email address? Is it on your website?
No.
Do you mean your home email address?
No. I mean my business email address.
So how do you think people get it? When somebody sends out an email and they put in the CC field and they include everybody's email addresses in there, they are distributing personal data, if you like, but contacting you is fine.
It's not prohibited under GDPR. GDPR is about the movement of personal data, and it was a big mistake that everybody made when GDPR first came out. They all panicked about emails, and it's not about emails.
Well, that's part of it, Paul.
It's not.
It
depends.
You are not allowed
to
send an unsolicited email to someone. No, you're not.
Yes, you are. You are. Trust me, you are.
If there's a legitimate interest in it,
yeah.
And that's proven.
But I've just explained to you, I have no relationship with these people. How would you argue a legitimate interest?
Because they're trying to tell you something that is of use to you, and that's a legitimate interest. You're allowed to send someone an email. What you can't do is take their personal data and give it to somebody else or store it badly or manipulate it.
Well, that's my second gripe, because the only way they've got my email is by somebody else giving them my email.
Well, whoever did that has infringed GDPR, but not them. But the fact is...
Have you never heard of opt-in?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, are you saying that doesn't apply in this instance?
It does.
So therefore I've been sent an email I shouldn't have received because I haven't opted into receiving it.
No, but you can send someone an email. Well.
You can send an unsolicited email.
Yeah.
Without fear of...
But you have to get all of the items right. Mm. If you've got legitimate interest in contacting someone, you can do it. Mm. I could email you and talk to you about...
Well, that's what we seem to be hung up on in this discussion.
You are hung up on it, Martin.
Well, I would argue that none of these businesses have any kind of legitimate interest.
Martin, that's quite possible. But, I mean, also don't forget that the GDPR is a EU-UK thing and a load of emails come from other places. They can care less.
Well, I think what Jackie's trying to say is if someone CCs you in, they've got your email address.
Mm.
So that's
a, that's that person that sent. Businesses do that all the time. They send out and they put email addresses in there. If that email address can be linked to you, they've distributed personal data incorrectly. Mm. If same as sending out, we have it all the time. Where people send attachments on emails. Mm. That's wrong. They shouldn't be doing that with personal data in it. For example, I'm sure none of the accountants are ever been on this show do it, but accountants send out tax returns with your address on it, with financial information, national insurance numbers, and they send it as a bog standard attachment. Email's insecure.
Mm.
It's not a secure method of transport.
Mm. So, where are we then at the moment in your, with your experience and your kind of day-to-day context with your clients in terms of GDPR? Is it something, my question really was, is it something that's been forgotten about?
No.
And people have gone back to kind of the bad old ways?
We don't let people forget about it because we run workshops on it and talk to people all the time about how they're storing their data, what they should be doing. We give them tools to send out attachments with passwords so that they're taking all due care and diligence over sending out and distributing any personal data. We try and ensure that they're educated. Obviously, they have to want to be educated, which is some issue, but our clients are all as educated as possible. Mm-hmm. But there is still more work to be done. It's a constant thing. It's a living regulation. Mm-hmm. It's not going to go away. Mm-hmm. I could talk to you about privacy statements and making sure that they're correct. That's a very interesting topic, but we haven't got long enough for that.
Yeah, okay.
It is a big topic, isn't it? Because there's a lot of misunderstanding still about what's involved and what isn't. And there's people do things without thinking about it. You know, it doesn't dawn on them that something I've just sent is insecure. Yeah. I mean, I hear what you're saying. Luckily, my financial people don't send me anything now. Apart from if they want me to look at something that's got data in it, I get a password protected link.
Yeah.
They don't send the data.
That's what we give clients the tools to be able to do that free of charge.
Yeah. Well,
within their contract. Cool. And with the workshops free of charge in their contract as well.
Fantastic.
Just saying.
No, it's good stuff. And it's something that we all need to keep on top of. And as you say, it's not going away.
Nope.
It's not getting better. What makes
as the ICO catches up, it's going to start catching up with people.
Yeah. Although I did happen to say to somebody the other day, because I was just in that frame of mind, when somebody's going, yeah, well, you know, personal data and names and addresses, you shouldn't do that. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when the government used to deliver a book and leave it on my doorstep, and it had the name, address and telephone number of everyone that lived in the same town as me. And that didn't seem to be a problem back then. I don't know why it suddenly is now, but there you go.
Well, I can't tell you about the amount of data that people just don't care about and distribute.
Absolutely.
And give away
point,
to people.
Actually, what happened to the electoral roll? Because you, on your voting slip, you used to have a box that said, I'm happy to receive marketing communications, or I'm not.
Yeah.
And then the electoral roll became a rentable mailing list. Is that all gone, or is that still there?
You tell me. I don't know.
I haven't had a voting slip through.
You can opt in and out.
Yes,
the
exactly.
Electoral, can't you?
I haven't had a
public bit of it.
We haven't had a general election until next month.
Bear in mind, nominate. Don't put information anymore on the internet about who owns domain names and things like that. It would be the
that
same
was
sort
shocking,
of thing.
Actually, yeah,
shocking. Shocking that people don't have their personal details displayed for everybody to look at. It's absolutely shocking, yeah.
No, I mean, it was shocking that they did have it displayed.
Oh, I see. Sorry, I thought you meant a shocking.
So whenever you would register a new domain name, you know, if you made the mistake of registering it to your home address, they would know, you know, who you were and where you were.
Okay.
So it's still very much alive.
Very much alive.
But my perception of it, in terms of the amount of spam that I'm receiving, and I'm afraid...
It's gone up.
It has gone up, and I'm afraid, you know, my view is these guys do not have the right to contact me. The way I read the law says, look, if I've done business with you, if you're a customer of mine, then yes, you know, by all means, send me an email. But if I've had no dealings with you ever before...
Well, then the government wouldn't be able to talk to you.
You don't have the right to contact me.
Yeah, no, they do.
Because that isn't opted in.
No, you do.
Wow.
It wasn't. Email wasn't covered remotely in GDPR. There was already an EU regulation from 2002 covering email communications.
Electronic
it's the big mistake that everybody made when they were running around worrying about GDPR. They were all worried about the wrong thing. Anyway, we're fast approaching half point in the show, and an interesting discussion from Jackie, sparking a debate here in the studio about GDPR. And I think the thing out of that is, and I think what you said is nailing it, Jackie, is that it's a living, growing thing. We've got to keep adapting to it and keep thinking about how we do things and what we do.
For sure. Yeah. Businesses have to watch everything that they do now.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important that we do. Taking care of people's personal... I know that because we've got a lot of personal data on Jobs in Kent. We've got millions of CVs.
Yeah.
And we have to be very careful what we do with any of those because, you know, it is personal data. But hearing about the full range of services that you supply is fantastic. If people want to find out more about JJ Systems, how can they do that? What's the best way of finding out what you do and
how
you do
it? To our website.
Yeah.
www.jjsystems.co.uk and
Twitter
and Twitter at JJ Systems and Facebook at JJ Systems and look for the cartoons, they're easy
and read your blog.
I just quickly wanted to ask you about that because on your social media you use loads of cartoons. Yeah. Who does those? How do you do those?
Well, I have a media team.
Do
so
you?
I have two people in my office, one of which is my daughter,
right.
And she designs them all. And
does she?
Do it all, yeah.
They're brilliant.
They're all over the cars and the vans and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, they're brilliant. Oh, no, that's good. Well, pal, what's her name?
What, Emily?
Yeah.
Emily.
Emily. That's handy.
Yeah, that's handy. Yeah. Emily Lamb.
Yeah.
Bit of a shout out for her.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff, Emily. They look really good. And
very
it's different, isn't it?
And
it's
Lloyd, he has a hand in it as well, but we don't like to mention
who
it.
Who does?
Lloyd.
Lloyd. Okay. Well done, Lloyd. Keep a low profile, mate. That's the best thing. No, it's great, and it's really good, and you have a fantastic presence on social media around that as well. Jackie, it's lovely to see you again. Thank you so much. Keep up all the good work you're doing with Alzheimer's and dementia and all the charitable work you're doing, but you're also doing a fantastic job with JJ Systems, keeping us secure.
20 years young.
Yeah.
20 years.
15 from your bedroom at home, you and your business partner, 20 years later.
Do you know, it's my 20th anniversary this year as well. For Jobs in Kent.
Is it really?
Yeah, we launched in November 1999. Yeah.
And you started yours from your bedroom when you were 60, didn't you? Or something like that.
Don't worry, you're having a break in a minute.
Yeah, yeah. When back then, we didn't have bedrooms.
Oh.
No, we all lived in a cardboard box in the middle of the road. Houses hadn't been invented. We lived in huts. Thank you, Martin. Jackie, thank you so much for that. Yeah, the lovely Jackie Offen of JJ Systems.
Thanks,
thank you,
Jackie. Brilliant. Look, keep up the good work, the fundraising.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We're going to join the newsroom now, and then when we come back, we've got two more fantastic guests to talk to.
On the Hour, Channel Radio News Update.
The search is continuing for a plane that's gone missing over the Channel Islands. It was travelling between Nantes and Cardiff when radar contact was lost around 8:30 last night. French authorities have said that Cardiff City's new record site